Hello all, and welcome to Awakening. You feel that bit of energy? That's Pure Energy by Beth Green. Interesting, when I hear that, I do feel energetic. I do start feeling more awake, more alive, more energetic. Hello, everyone that's coming on the airwaves. Hello, Cosmic Dimensions. We are streaming live via Cosmic Dimensions as well. I'm your host, co-pilot, Michelle Machane. I want to welcome to everyone in the chat that is gracing us with their beautiful light and presence. So wonderful to connect with everyone. If you have stumbled here and you're like, why am I here? What is this show? What is this program? Let me tell you a little bit about Awakenings. It's a live interactive talk radio, music radio connecting point. Let's put it this way. It's a place where we connect in and focus on the spiritual process of awakening. Awakenings is part of the converging flow that externalized out of the harmonic convergence. And Awakenings Radio hosts dialogues and interviews with spiritual teachers, healers, conscious experts, visionaries, awakened leaders, authors, conscious beings, and people of all walks of life that are awakening, are awake, and integrating this awakened state into their everyday lives and living. And that means you. That means if you tumbled, stumbled, surfed in, tuned in to Awakenings, that on some level, whether you realize it or not, you're awakening, that there's a spiritual awakening and deeper understanding taking place within you of your life, perhaps your purpose. Maybe you're awakening like a deep sleep and saying, there's got to be more, or what do I want to do? Or I want to do something different with my life. Or maybe you've been quite a long time on the path and are awake and you have been sharing this awakened state and perhaps doing something in your own personal life with this, and you say, hey, cool, kindred spirits. This is a kindred place to be, to connect in for some insight or information or to share. You know, a lot of times at the end of the program, I say, you know, to shine your light and share your insight and keep awake. It really is about you sharing you. Each and every one of us as individuated aspects of the all that is has to share. It's not time to hide our light under a little bushel, not that we could anyway. And Elmar saying in there, Kathy, are you hiding in the chat? I love it, Elmar. Yeah, are you hiding? No, Kathy is not hiding. I can tell you that. And you can't hide your light because you know who you are, you awakened ones. You advanced light workers, you know who you are because people always come up to you and ask you questions. Or perhaps you always felt something different in your life and you wondered, how come I know this, or how come I feel differently, or how come I see things differently? How come I'm not caught up in this certain game? Because you came in with a certain awareness, or you hit a few milestones. You know, there's not one. This is why we say the program's name is Awakenings, which, by the way, was directed to me by the spiritual hierarchy that I work with and the Oversouls to just hold the space. That's all I'm doing here, is just to hold the space for part of the converging flow, which is all of you to connect in. Each one of you has your own group, whether you realize it or not, whether it's your friends, as Kurt's saying, friends, neighbors, countrymen. Yes, exactly. We all have our group with our family or our friend, that girlfriend, that boyfriend, you know, is it our husband, our wife, is it our kids that, believe it or not, watch us or look to us to see, wow, what is happening, especially in these uncertain times where we're in a global, we're in an individual and a collective, global, universal. It's galactic. We are having a galactic shift, not just, you know, the shifting is not just on the monetary level or the material plane. That is one of the extensions of it, but we're having a cellular, molecular, energetic shift that is taking place. And so because that is actually us, the physical aspect of us is only a quarter of who we are. It's only a quarter of the manifestation that we are. We are shifting and changing on these other levels as well. But we are consciousness. So we're the awareness, the consciousness before it's made manifest, and we're the consciousness and the awareness made manifest. So we are the shift, the change. We are facilitating it, but we're participating in it, but it's happening to us and through us. So we have this wonderful multidimensional reality as the all that is that's changing shape and form. Great question right now in the chat. Absolutely, light. Debbie is saying, can the molecular change cause nausea? Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. One thing that really I started contemplating a few years ago was that it's not just some things changing in some ways. It's not, yes, the DNA is going through a blender. Absolutely, Kurt. Another wonderful comment in the chat there. Yeah, it is that everything, because we seriously are everything and everyone. I mean, obviously we're individuated consciousness or individuated aspects of the consciousness, of the oneness, of the all that is. But we are, it's both. We are all of that. We are that web as well as the weaver. So because we are that web, one thing I want everyone to remember, just because there's mental, emotional changes that are occurring, up-leveling, up-shifting that is happening. However, there's also physical material changes. And I know a lot of times people think, well, that means, you know, maybe more windstorms or, you know, more hurricanes or more earthquakes, or it makes sense that the stock market's changing, or there's governmental changes, or there's things that are being revealed about the government. But remember that our wonderful body temple is of the material plane and the physical, physiological plane. So absolutely you are going to feel those changes within the physical structures of your very being. So it's physical, physiological changes that will be occurring and that are occurring. And so and there's nothing wrong. This is what's interesting to me. A lot of the separatism, and this is going to be definitely, we're in the shift of this where we're getting more inclusive. Somewhere along the path, and part of it I feel came out of the Judeo-Christian strain, but the part that didn't include the mystic side, the mysticism, because you will find in all the mystical traditions, all the Aboriginal traditions or Native traditions, there is the mystical aspect that has to do with the feeling nature that we are, that has to do with our, you know, sensual nature, meaning our presence in the sensual world of taste, touch, feel, smell, sense, working with sensory perception. And usually there's a clearing, cleansing, not that anything's bad or negative, but to clear it so that we feel more of our aliveness, our godness, our divine presence and blueprint through our sensory perception. It's only when they started taking the mystical traditions out of more traditional religion, but that's what made a traditional religion, is they took the mysticism out, that you had the body being bad, or if something happens to the body, something is wrong. And that actually creates separation. You can't have it both ways. You can't be everything, or God can't be everything, or you're God and you're everything, or you are the all that is, except certain things, except if I have a pain, or I have an ache, or this condition happens to me, this illness, then that's not God. You can't have it both ways. So conditions that we go through are the shifts on the material or physical plane, and maybe sometimes they're painful, or we don't understand them, or maybe they, you know, delay our path or our to-do list. They hold us back a little bit. But in the scheme of things, from the expansion of the soul level, of the all that is, it fits in perfectly. That condition, that situation is an aspect of the shift, that it, whatever shift that's happening on the mental, emotional, and spiritual level. So it's not whoever comes out unscarred, you know, out of this earth process wins, you know, not necessarily. I mean, it's just different expressions, different experiences of the shift. And Tammy is saying also in the chat, time to really tune into your body. Yes, absolutely. And about drinking more water. That is one thing that I've been getting from the spiritual hierarchy, as well as the oversouls that are overseeing the changes on a cellular level, is that the water, drinking the water and drinking more alkaline or ionized water, or putting minerals in the water such as crystals, amplifying, to amplify the water. So there's a lot that we can do because we have this intelligence within us. We have the encoding and the pattern of the Atlantean times and the Lemurian times and other dimensional realities. We have that as we are that. So it just takes perhaps being reminded of this or tuning in and asking these other aspects of self or other awarenesses, if you want to say, other dimensional understandings or reality. If you want to go into even more of a higher vibrational frequency, you will get beyond what would be an identified self or form. If you want to go into the collective, the all that is, there are your answers. This shift is very much about being able to connect in to our answers in a way that's personal for us, yet that fits into the greater good of the whole, of the all that is. So it's interesting, we're really getting more inclusive. And I don't know about you, anybody else, but I've really been seeing that a lot, this inclusivity. Anybody else feeling that or seeing that, that there really is this idea of a coming together? But not even just, it's happening overtly where we can see it in people trying to come together, more of a unity consciousness, but I'm even seeing it in the paradigm shift that there is more of this inclusivity, that on a thought form level or on a energetic level. And that's why we're getting some of the bumping in of people that are fearing the inclusivity, that there's a feeling that they may lose themselves or lose their rights because of this oneness. And yes, Tammy is saying in the chat, transparency and inclusivity. Absolutely. Yeah, I so agree. And also, Grand Elf is mentioning in the chat, which I think is really has been important for me anyway, I can speak for myself here, is spending more time in nature. And even when I'm walking where I'm walking or driving, noticing the nature. See, that's even a first step in inclusivity. That are we noticing the nature that is, that's around us, that is us. You know, if are we noticing that? That's part of our exclusivity has not been noticing. We don't notice what's around us or how we're connected or how we're being helped or how we have what we need right when we need it. You know, I always say spirit acts in a holy instant or the 11th hour. So sometimes it might seem like you have to wait a while, but you have what you need. You have that awareness, that understanding. You have a place to go to, people to connect with, or just even walking outside your house. How can you look and see what are you receiving there that is nurturing or nourishing you? How can you connect in with that? And what I'm finding, it may not come in the form that you thought. Maybe it doesn't come in a preconceived form. But we have to just be aware to see what is the form. We have to go beyond the form, our perceived notion of what the form is, to see how, yes, I am receiving all the time. I absolutely love what Tammy is putting also in the chat, is right relationship to all people, animals, nature, ourselves, and others. Yes, that right relationship, that is the focus of, you know, really, it's the focus forever, but it's going to be highly intensified and it's going to be integrated into our livingness. There will be more embodyingness in the mainstream culture eventually of right relationship as well as right livelihood. So right relationship with ourselves, that higher self to lower self or that soul alignment, and then the right relationship to others and then with us. That's a, and that you have to be inclusive. But you also, when we're inclusive, you have to have a good sense of self, a self understanding of what my soul story is. You have to know your soul story and come from that and know that how you are divinely expressing is perfect, whole, and complete, is needed and necessary. In other words, you have to kind of celebrate your song, what you came to sing here. And then it's easier for you to be tolerant of others. You know, I find it, what I have found in my path, the people that are the least tolerant are those that are not really truly happy with what they're experiencing. And that's why they're able to, you know, constantly nitpick with others. We have an absolutely great guest today that was actually suggested to me by someone that I met via Twitter. Diana Russo had seen our guest in Australia because she was doing a tour there, teaching and speaking, you know, sharing information tour. And we started chatting about the information that he was relaying, and I said, oh, this would be perfect for awakenings. And so I contacted him, had Linda contact him, my assistant, and we hunted him down. And actually, he was going to be on before, but his schedule, he was quite busy with his talk about the timeline to 2012. So before we call Yvonne Stein, I would like to just share a little bit about him. Yvonne is a consummate seeker and a person who learned to question everything. And his path had him questioning the spiritual realm with no defined agenda. And it found that he was looking down a road revealed more about the physical world than he ever imagined. And this is what led to his discoveries about the physical changes and events related to 2012. He's been lecturing on this topic of 2012 for over 10 years. He also created a four-part workshop series entitled Conscious Healing with Positive Manifestation. Ivan also started his first company at the age 26. He's been a self-starter, entrepreneur, natural leader. He's worked with management roles in seven startup companies. He has a BS in electrical engineering and computer science from the University of Connecticut. So he has a background, which I find interesting. He has a background in technology, has a background in finance, and somehow his path has led us to him and led him to take that background of a scientific point of view and led him to him. So I'm calling him right now.
Hello, it's Yvonne.
Yvonne?
Yes.
Welcome to Awakenings. You're on live with Awakenings. This is Michelle Mache.
Oh, thank you, Michelle.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Great, great. So I've been sharing a little bit of what I know of your path a little bit with our listeners.
Okay.
Just a very rudimentary introduction to let them know a little bit about your training and your background, which opens the idea of how did you get from, and I know you've been the seeker, this explorer, and even at one point we're going to become about to move to Tibet to become a Buddhist monk.
Right.
How did your path of being an engineer and being involved in computer science, how did that path evolve into that inner seeker and explorer?
Yeah, it's a good question, and everybody has their own awakening. Mine was no less unique than anybody's in the fact that I was at I was in a downward spiral in my life, lost love, feeling lost in my career, health was depleted. And, of course, you know, the trigger was, in my case, the big trigger with everything else that was going on was lost love. I was in a relationship where a woman chose money over love. and that traumatized me, and I realized that where I was in my life no longer worked. Mm. I really found that life had lost its meaning.
Mm.
And, of course, that is what turns you inward in most cases. It's not every case, but certainly in my case and many people's, it causes you to reflect, to review, and to make big choices.
Mm. It's the pinprick.
Yeah, right. I call it the awakening, everybody has a moment in their life where they look at things and decide it's not really working. It's not what we came here for. It didn't feel comfortable. It didn't feel right. I knew there had to be more joy in life. So that's. And it was simple. I was actually living in Calabasas, North Los Angeles at the time, and so there were certainly a lot of opportunities to get involved in other things. And I got to say that the things I looked at were not all positive, but I was at least exploring options of new ways of viewing life. And one of the biggest triggers was reading a book called You Can Heal Your Life by Louise Hay. I mean, I know a lot of people read that book, and when I read it and I did the forgiveness exercise, I broke out into a fever for 12 hours, and it was something my analytical mind couldn't just disregard. Mm-hmm. My scientific mind said, wow, I don't have an illness, but something was triggered through that exercise, and it started me down the road. That was it. That one event changed my life.
Wow. So you have her to partially thank. You obviously need your higher guidance, higher self, but that situation. That situation, what I'm hearing from, got you looking then. Is that?
Yeah. I mean, the trauma turns me to be a seeker, and I think one of the things I did is I went to a psychic, just happened to be a friend of the family, and started delving into the world of spirit, and actually the psychic is the one that told me to pick up the book, You Can Heal Your Life, and I picked that up and had that experience, and it really embedded the seeking in me to a point where I took it to the level of meditating up to 10 hours a day, quitting work for a year and a half, and working only on my spirituality. And it wasn't so much I was just looking to find better answers, and everything I was learning about myself and the world around me just kept building on itself to the point where I started channeling material that I was learning from myself. I wasn't reading it from books. I think I read about 5 spiritual books total in my evolution, and most of it came from within. I went so deep and went into that meditative state to where I didn't want to come back to society. And it really, I was learning how to, things about life and about the universe that I was applying in everyday life. And my scientific background allowed me to, do a cause and effect, try something and say, oh my God, that worked, that didn't work. And then I kept optimizing it until I created a whole level of, I don't call it my own spiritual belief, but I've certainly written a book based on it, and I've lectured on it without getting any formal training from a guru or a mentor or a teacher or even other books.
Mm-hmm. Good, the inner guru.
Yeah, the inner guru came out, and I'm realizing it was supposed to in this life. And I'm very pleased to be where I'm at and have gone through the transformation that I've gone through, to say the least.
Now, share with me a bit, you... This in your path led you to almost go to Tibet. So how did that? So you were going to do the proverbial, let me just go to the cave or the ashram, right, and continue.
Yeah, I really didn't see how my spiritual evolution would harmonize with society, and I really was not looking forward to coming back in. And I was shown. I had a vision. Visions are powerful as well as dreams, and I certainly had a vision that showed that I was supposed to come back. And if you want, I can describe it. It's not extremely long. But I was on top of a mountain, and, many people have a similar vision where they're climbing the mountain, and I had climbed the mountain, and I was residing on top of the mountain every time I went into meditation, and it was a euphoric state. and I would fly, you know, into the heavens and come back and be on top of the mountain again. So that was pretty much where I was in a meditative state. And then all of a sudden this mountain started collapsing. I mean, not collapsing, it was like an avalanche, and I watched it, and it was getting closer and closer to my feet. And I had no fear, but I was watching this, and so I looked down at what was in the valley at the bottom of the mountain, and I saw trees, and I saw what appeared to be, because it was way down there, it appeared to be people and humanity on some level. And all of a sudden, it got to my feet, and I just slid right down this mountain. And I found myself back in society. And that was a tremendous sign for me, besides the fact that I knew, you know, karmically, and you're given certain gifts in life for a reason. And I was given the gift of technology, and I was given the gift of science, and, you know, I realized, and I was given the ability to communicate and lead, and I was like, you know, these gifts really don't resonate with being a Buddhist monk. You know, I'd be glad to throw them all away and go become a Buddhist monk anyway, but I recognized on some level that I was meant to do something a little bit different in this life, and the vision then just confirmed it.
You know, and something that you're saying that, to me, I think is a really important point for people, well, two things, actually, that I think people, you know, our listeners can really benefit by is, one, that archetypal imagery, the dream, you know, because that's how our soul speaks, or many times our higher self speaks through in some type of, you know, imagery to kind of direct us, as well as what you said, Yvonne, about your gifts, you know, not to just hoard them or waste them, you know, that they're to be put to some greater use. And I think that's sometimes is a little wake-up call for people to kind of, you know, and, you know, that, yeah, you have these gifts, you're meant to use them.
Yeah, and I agree with that. And like I said, I was already processing it that way before I had the vision. So, yeah, I kind of, even though as much as I didn't want to come back into society, I recognized that I was probably meant to.
Well, that was your confirmation. That's why I say a confirmation. You were already getting the message, and then it was like, you know, one of my teachers, because I spent some time as well as in an ashram, but one of my teachers said, you know, anyone can live in an ashram. You know, all your bills are paid. You have to go there. You're with everybody else, you know, kind of chanting and meditating and singing and doing the cooking. You know, you're removed.
Right.
But can you take this awareness, this understanding of what is actually going on, and be in the world where not everybody is going to be saying, Om Namah Shivaya, you know, would you like me to cut that apple for you or cook for you today? You know, everybody, you know.
Yeah.
So that you...
I saw that as taking my spirituality to another level. Absolutely. I saw that the greatest challenge would be to try to live the same life in society. And I did it, and it was kicking and screaming and... resistance and all those things that you would have going to that type of transformation, but I did it, and once I achieved that, then the manifestations occurred effortlessly. Once I incorporated my spirituality and was quit resisting, then the power of manifestation became easy, which was profound to me. I did not anticipate that.
Well, you were following the right path, right?
Yeah, I was, you know, and let me tell you, going through the process of spiritual growth without anybody helping you or patting you on the back or giving you advice or saying, yeah, that's right, was a huge, tremendous challenge for me to begin with. So, you know, then taking it into society with the same lack of support structure, only support structure being the universe or God, and being able to do it was another challenge. But, yeah, I rise to the occasion. That's my job.
Exactly. I love that.
Don't hesitate from a challenge.
But the thing is, how are you going to, you know, when things are, you know, the flotsam and is floating and things are shifting or crumbling or, you know, that's going on, if you don't have that inner connection, that inner sense of knowing and being guided and taken care of, how can you, you can't possibly lead others, right? So you kind of
Right, exactly. I had to learn that. Absolutely, you're right. You have to have some core, some sort of inner, obviously, balance in order to do what needs to be done at this time and going forward. Mm-hmm. There's no question about it. And yeah, those challenges were necessary for me to combine many lifetimes, as well as the information I'd received in this lifetime, into the ability to take it forward.
And Yvonne, what do you feel helps you in that? What could you suggest?
I'll tell you one thing that really helped me, and I'm sure it's different for everybody, but when I was meditating 10 hours a day, and I'm talking about 10 hours straight, mm-hmm. And the levels that I was achieving put me in a meditative state 24 hours a day. And if you've read any material out there or any channeled information or any even advice from gurus, they say that is a state that you'd like to maintain. Mm-hmm. So I don't get tweaked by external forces. I don't get tweaked by control dramas. I teach people how to break control dramas. So I'm very calm, peaceful inner sense that allows me, and everybody knows that if you're in that state, that is when you can make the best choices. That is when you can follow your intuition. When you're tweaked by emotions and you're tweaked by society, you're tweaked by what's going on in the world, you're going to be in a state where you're not going to make the best choices for your highest good. So it was really that in-depth, intense meditation that allowed me to be the person I am today and to stay calm in adversity and calm with information about the future, or it doesn't matter what's going on. I just know that I'm fine, and I'm always fine. I'm always great, and I can live that life.
Mm. It does seem that meditative state is it's always been important, but now I would say crucial that people live more in that state, know how to align to that state and live more and more in that state and make decisions from that state, which it sounds like that's what you're doing.
Yeah. That's what I've learned to do, and it's a blessing. It's the greatest blessing to be who I am and to know what I know and to do what I do and not have any worries, not have any stress. And, of course, I've been teaching manifestation for 15 years based on the material that I learned from the universe through me, channeled through me. I've learned to continuously let go at higher and higher levels. Let go, I call it release. Mm-hmm. And I've released and released and released, and more recently at another level again. And each time, it makes the manifestations and the ability to manifest easier.
Mm-hmm. And do you find that there is more and more of a releasing that needs to take place as you expand your consciousness, as you connect more into the awareness of the all that is and that we are, that it is really about releasing?
It is. I mean, and let me tell you, I'm not trying to plug my own work, but I have a 4-part workshop. And the first part, I put up a chart, a graph, so to speak, of what happens, how you manifest. It's got energy in and your life out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and you can see where you are on this graph, and I give the tools then to move into the direction you want to move. And it really is. The higher levels of release move you into a more positive and peaceful state. We've been programmed and trained not to release, to hang on, to hold on.
The opposite.
To control. You've been in ashram, you know.
Yeah.
It's not a mystery why people are trapped in their own consciousness and their own manifestations and then maybe don't realize it in many cases, which is traumatizing. It used to be traumatizing to me. Now I see it objectively, and I have compassion for everybody, but I don't get caught in their stuff, and that's an art.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I have compassion for everybody because I see, and through my own experiences of evolution, that we're all creating our own life, even if we don't know it or don't believe it, and those that do know it and do believe it are still trapped because they don't have the tools to break out. Yeah, to create higher levels of release.
Which is so occurring right now. Is the tools, having the tools and the techniques that you can at your disposal, know them and being able to tune in to them or use them. Well, share a little bit. You've talked a little bit just now about it, but the four-part workshop series. Now, is that done in a group setting?
It's a video of a lecture that I gave, and I will say that if anybody watches it, they're not going to see me in my true center of peace, because I did 8 hours of workshop in one day, and I'd never done that before, and I put a lot of effort into these because I wanted to video record it. Because I realized that I wasn't going to be able to go around and teach this forever. At the rate things are going, there are other things I had to do. And so I wanted to get it on tape, and I've been teaching for 15 years. And, I put it together, and it's up for free on the Internet. You can go to YouTube. My YouTube channel is SpiritMan2012, and there are 26 videos that comprise that four-hour workshop.
Okay, and, then your website. Now, I put it in the chat, but let me make sure. It's timeline2012.org, right?
That's correct.
Okay. Now, is it there as well, or is it on YouTube?
It's also there. We're still working on the Timeline 2012 website, diligently, mind you, because there's a lot of things that have to be completed next month for me to take the next steps in that project. And they are on the, I think it's the preparation resources page, and then there's one on spiritual preparation.
Okay.
And the videos, and these videos are linked into there. If people would go there and click on them, and that's going to be reformatted, that page, so it's easier to tell that it's there. But if you just scroll down a little bit, you'll see the four workshop videos, and you can click on those. It'll take you to YouTube, or it'll take you right to a page on the Timeline 2012 site that has the videos listed.
Okay. So you put the video. That's great. So originally, though, it was a workshop or a class with a group of people, I'm understanding?
Yeah, it was. I was teaching it as people asked me. I wasn't, you know, running out and trying to be a metaphysical teacher or a spiritual teacher in the world. I was always being asked. I didn't have to. People kept saying, well, I want you to get the book done. I want you to teach the lectures again. I'm like, well, if enough people get together, I'll teach the lecture. And that's the way it worked. I didn't force it. I just let it happen the way, you know, when it was needed for me to do it. And then, like I said, I got to the point where I knew I had to shift gears into more of the Timeline 2012 material. And so I videotaped it for prosperity and for helping other people.
Wow. That is great, Yvonne. That really is. I mean, what I'm hearing from you, and that's the thing, and I know you already know this, you don't necessarily need the confirmation, but just to put my two cents in, I find those, you know, the actual light workers or that are deemed to do this, it is always the same. It's responding to the call. It's not going out and putting the shingle out. It's like people all of a sudden start saying, well, would you do this? Or what about the DVD or the CD or the video, or would you share? Let's get a group together. And then it just grows and grows out of service. And because you're answering the call, obviously the abundance is there on all levels, because you're just you're responding to your path and your purpose. And it's wonderful to see this, and it's wonderful to have you sharing on Awakening so that the listeners can hear this. And somehow I'm hoping it seeps in so they start listening to where is their call coming from. You know, we need to not imitate
call,
other people's call, right? We don't need to imitate.
You got that right. That's right. And everybody has their unique gifts. One of the interesting things that might shed some light on this is one of the things that I recognized very early in my evolution spiritually was that it wasn't for me.
Mm.
It was always what I could do for the greatest number of people. It was always how can I help more people, if that means that the universe can help me rise up to a higher level of consciousness. The only purpose for that was to help more people.
Mm.
And that selflessness, I realize, is what allowed the universal response of manifestation and, like you said, guidance and clarity and the things coming through, you know, because it was never about me. And it isn't.
Mm-hmm.
It was always about what I can do for more people. And even putting the videos up for free, I mean, you know,
I know,
it wasn't about money.
Yeah, that's.
I learned how to manifest money in business, and that was after I'd opened up spiritually. And once I really was able to harmonize real life or practical life with my spiritual growth, everything manifested effortlessly. And once I learned to rely on that and trust in it, like I said, there was never a need to sell my spiritual work.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a blessing. That is a blessing, and I cherish that growth of being able to come to that realization in that way.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think part of because you're answering that call, that inner call, that inner directive, you know, there's a flow that's set up, a momentum.
Mm-hmm.
So you are receiving, you know, from that. I think that's a message that really needs to get out, especially when a lot of people right now are scrambling, trying to do things to manifest, but they're not aware, and which I'm going to definitely look at your series here, just from talking with you, because it's, to me, the missing link. It's not scrambling. What am I going to get? What am I going to manifest? You know, it's like, what am I supposed to be doing here? You know, what am I? And you're an example of that, because you are following that,
and it works.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
The difference. Yeah, a lot of people are following it and they're not achieving it. That was one of the things that I found, and part of it was having the information channel through me and apply it on a personal level and find out what works and doesn't work. You can imagine that ingrains it deeper in you than if you just read it in a book or heard it from somebody else.
Yes.
So yeah, it definitely, you know, I live it every moment of the day, and that of course helps the manifestation process, because if you divert from your conscious beliefs and compromise, then of course your manifestations aren't going to be what you had hoped.
Mm-hmm. Now, how important do you feel, or how this mindset that we're speaking of now, how important do you see, or how pivotal in the upcoming changes, well, the changes that we're in right now and as we move into 2012 and beyond?
It's absolutely essential, because the conscious evolution, which many people are listening are familiar with, we're accelerating exponentially to a level of consciousness that we've never achieved on this planet before. And absolutely, part of that means we're manifesting 20 times faster than we were before 1999. And then in 2011, we manifest 20 times faster again. And that's the acceleration that people are feeling. So if you have not cleared your consciousness to manifest only positive experiences, well, guess what? I mean, you're going to manifest 20 times more experiences no matter where you are consciously. So this is absolutely the pivotal time. And when people ask me, what is the most important thing I can do to prepare for what's coming in 2012 and between now and then, I tell them, grow spiritually. Get the attic clean.
Wow.
We're going to be going into a stage of telepathy, and it's already happening. And I tell people, are you ready to have somebody look at every thought that's going through your mind right now?
Mm.
If you're not, then you got work to do.
Yeah.
If you're not manifesting only positive experiences, you got work to do.
Mm.
Because you don't want to be manifesting 20 times more of the same stuff that people are experiencing today. And I'm talking about the majority, not necessarily everybody. A lot of people are working on themselves and have done a lot of work and aren't manifesting those negative experiences. But when you have chaos in your life, if you struggle, if you have hardship, that's all about inner manifestation, your abilities to manifest.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want 20 times more of, you know, what you see out there in the world? I don't think so.
Mm. Interesting. So that's true. As we're amplifying that it's amplifying wherever you're at consciously, is what I'm hearing you say.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah. And so, when I tell people, you know, people say, oh, I manifest great. I said, do you ever suffer? Mm-hmm. And they say, yeah. I said, do you ever have hardship? They say, yeah. I said, well, then there's room for improvement.
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
Mm-hmm.
Just keep working on it.
Mm-hmm. We have a question in the chat, Yvonne, about, do you know anything about constant tones that some people hear?
Constant tones, I do. Mm-hmm. I was actually told that when I heard a ringing in my ear at this point in my life, that it was actually my guardian angels getting close to me.
Mm.
At least that much, I am familiar. It's a lot of, in science and in medical concepts, when you hear a high tone in your ear, that they say that, oh, that means, that frequency is going to be gone, because that's telling you that the frequency is dissipating and you no longer be able to hear that frequency. Well, true or not, isn't relevant to me, I don't think, in those terms. But those are the things that science would tell you. But, there are other reasons for it, obviously.
Yeah. Well, I've
been a destruction of...
Exactly. I've been having them since a kid, and I still have extremely good hearing. In fact, so good that sometimes I can hear what's in the next room, so the pitch is still there.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Well, there you go. It's probably a perfect...
Or like that ringing, or like a real, sometimes like, just really high. And I find when that happens, I kind of tune into an energy pattern or field. It's almost like when you have a deja vu, you can feel more of that, subtle energy, I guess.
Well, that sounds like what I was told is exactly what you're experiencing.
Yeah. I take that. I like that. That suits me, that reality. To pick our own, I'm picking that one. That one works.
Yeah.
So, Yvonne, and you've been talking about this a lot in, sharing this insight, which, by the way, and I shared with people before I called you, shared with the listeners, but I found out about you and your work from Diana Russo in Australia.
Oh, okay.
Who went to one of your workshops when you were in Australia. And we were chatting about it on Twitter, and I said, got to have him on Awakenings. You've got to get this information more out there. So she gave me your original contact information, and here we are. So,
yes, I remember. Yeah,
remember?
And those weren't workshops, by the way.
Well, what were they? Sharings or something?
Well, first of all, you got to remember, I mean, here's another thing. I didn't go to Australia to lecture.
Oh, I didn't know that because, okay.
No, I went there on a spiritual journey. I just sold my business, got out of the corporate world, and wanted to engulf myself back in the spirit and walk the talk. And I went there without any agenda at all, just to clear my head, reconnect with spirit, and walk in the moment.
Oh.
Okay. And on the back burner, there was the possible preparation for 2012 with no agenda. It was just, if I'm supposed to meet the people and find a location, whatever, that was just going to happen. And I really lived every day without any plan. And one of the first things that happened when I was there, I was looking for a community sense of spirit, and I found a yurt where some Buddhist monks were having a meeting. It was a Buddhist yurt, and they were having a meeting there. Well, it turned out to be a meeting for something called Path of Love. And they were introducing Path of Love to the people that arrived. I'd never heard of this before. But in the few minutes, they did some exercises, and I realized that I had to be there, that I had to do this. So I signed up for it, and it was in Sydney, and it was like a month and a half later. So for a month and a half, I was walking and talking and traveling around Australia, and I kept meeting people, and we had these conversations about what's coming, and pretty soon I was giving presentations at the, backpackers. And I was having 15 people a day that just did a backpacker asking me to come back the next day and talk again. And so I was doing that for a little while, and then I went to Alice Springs, and I met some people there, and they said, oh, my God, I know 10 people in town that need to hear this. I know there's somebody else saying, I know 10 people in town that need to hear this. I said, well, if a place presents itself, I will give a lecture. Mm. The next day, somebody offered us an amphitheater for free.
I love it.
Oh, manifestation, yeah. I mean, I said, okay, well, there it is. Then we put the date. Okay, and then I said, well, I really didn't have anything really professional prepared, and I'd like to be thorough if I'm going to do this kind of presentation. So I said, it's time to create a PowerPoint presentation. Well, then I meet this guy who's living in Alice Springs and teaching school in Alice Springs. He's American. He's from the United States. He goes, I know PowerPoint. I'll do it for you. And I meet with him. But in the preparation of meeting with him, I realized that there's nobody that can put this together besides me. So he taught me PowerPoint in 5 minutes.
Wow.
The next day, I put the PowerPoint presentation together, a 107-page PowerPoint presentation I put together in one afternoon, and I lectured on it the next day.
That's okay. Talk about being guided and on purpose on your path.
Yeah, and there were 100 people that showed up to this lecture in Alice Springs, which was the first lecture. And at that lecture, not only were people there for 5 hours, because they had 2 hours of questions after my three-hour presentation, and very few people left, but afterwards, people were saying, they came up to me and said, they came in from another part of the country in Australia, and they said, oh my God, this was what I was waiting for, what I was looking for, and information, and would you be interested if we can set it up to do some lectures in other parts of Australia before I leave in 10 days.
Mm.
Okay, and I said, well, yeah, if it's possible, you know. And they set up 4 lectures in 4 days. The last 4 days I was in Australia, they set up 4 lectures everywhere from Cairns to virtually the middle of Australia down towards the Sunshine Coast. And they grew in popularity and momentum. The first one had about 60, the second one had about 90, the next one had about 150 turning people away, and the fourth one had 250 people.
Mm.
And this was all prepared in 10 days.
Well,
so
yeah, on the ego personality level, obviously it was already prepared and you didn't realize you're not just going for a sabbatical either.
Yeah, exactly. But I was open to whatever it was supposed to be, and that's why it happened. I was open and people, you know, came in and they said, we want to help you get this message out. We know a lot of people, and I did know a lot of people. And now they're begging me to come back, and I've had requests from other parts of the world to go and speak. So I'm trying to get the website completed so that I can free myself up to do these next tasks.
Absolutely. That's where you're needed. Well, what do you see in overview, because you're really looking at a lot of the physical changes, right?
It's everything. You know, one of the things, the physical changes are going to be the most difficult for people to endure by any level, especially if they're not prepared consciously. This is something where I tell people, for some reason, I'm able to see the big picture in virtually everything I've done in life. And when I just came this, and I wasn't looking for the answer to 2012.
Mm-hmm.
That's important. I wasn't trying to solve this puzzle.
Mm.
I was just applying my spiritual questioning everything to the physical world. And once I had achieved a certain level of spiritual understanding of the world, I said, well, what happens if I apply this philosophy of questioning everything to the physical world? And I started doing that, and as I was receiving answers to the questions I was asking, of course, then it would just create more questions. And then I started putting a puzzle together that I was being guided by my questions and the answers I was receiving to find out something that I wasn't really planning or trying to find out, which was what's coming in the next 3 years.
Mm-hmm. And what do you see coming, or what have you received that is the unfolding in the next 3 years, as you say, that timeline?
I will say this, that it's such a combination of everything. Even the material that our research turned out to have, parts of ancient history, current events, future prophecy, geophysical changes, cosmology or astronomy. I mean, all of these pieces fit into this puzzle, and I tell people, look, if you just looked at the Bible prophecy, if you just looked at the Mayan calendar, you're not going to figure this out.
Mm-hmm.
It really requires a vast amount of information put together so that and one of the things that people tell me is that this answered all the questions that they couldn't find the answers to. It put together a puzzle for them that they were struggling with in their life. And some of them didn't even know they were struggling with it. They thought they had good information, and then all I do is just give information. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to convince anybody. I just provide the information so that they can make better choices. Mm-hmm. So what's coming, again, this conscious evolution we're going through is a preparatory stage. Mm. We are being risen consciously to the highest level in the history of the planet approximately 1 year before 2012 occurs. I mean, December 21st, 2012, which is not an accident to me. I don't see anything as an accident. Of course, December 21st, 2012 is when the Mayan calendar restarts. It has nothing to do with what's going to occur on that date.
That's right.
The Mayan calendar just restarts. But the Mayan prophecy is also on that exact same day. The exact same day that we pass the galactic equator.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And these are not coincidental. Okay. And if you, what I have been able to do is go back through past history, even in this area that you and I are in right now, which is California, this has all been under the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been back up out of the ocean. Well, I go through the geophysical understanding of that, how the Grand Canyon was created, and why we've been lied to about so many things in not just the solar system, but here on Earth. It's not because geologists don't understand it. It's that the information isn't supposed to be out because it would cause people to question and panic.
Panic, the fear.
Yeah,
right.
They want, the people that control society and control the world want to maintain stability, which is why they're propping up the economy when it's destined to fail.
Yeah.
They're trying to keep stability on the highest level they can for as long as they can.
Yes, a lot of people aren't seeing that. There's a little false peak that's happened now. And,
oh, yeah.
Right?
False is the word.
False, yeah. And yeah.
What I tell people is, look, we are $70 trillion in debt between Medicare, which is $34 trillion underfunded, Social Security. We're now, what, I don't know, for $10 or $15 trillion in debt to the Federal Reserve. We got another $10 billion in bonds to foreign countries, which will never get paid back. And then we still have to fix the infrastructure in this country, which has to be replaced, everything. Everything from bridges to underground tunnel systems for all the sewage and water. Everything has to be replaced. We don't have $1 trillion to fix anything, much less the $70 trillion it's going to take to fix this system. This system is designed to fail. We've been living off of borrowed money and borrowed time deliberately. It has been built into the system to prop this up, to keep people in the box and keep them working in the machine, to keep them deluded so that they don't get outside and regain their full power.
Mm-hmm.
This is about trapping people's souls in a system that is dysfunctional. And until people break out, they don't see that.
So really what you're saying, it's about breaking out of the system. You have to break out of the system.
Well, that's part of the release. Mm-hmm. Release means letting go of the system, letting go of the material possessions. That doesn't mean you have to let go of every material possession. Money has value and it has uses on the positive side as well as the negative side. But money is used to control the masses.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to control you if you manifest it easily, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Okay? It's when you struggle for it that you're under their control. So that's a spiritual growth. I mean, I let go of everything and went into an impoverished state to grow spiritually. But for some reason, it's what I felt was important to do at the time. And it was, because it allowed me to address my attachment to money. And then when I came out of it and went back into society and went back into business with this other new consciousness, I was able to manifest in a different way and a different understanding of the money.
Mm-hmm. So again, you're talking about really the releasing the attachment, which is that struggle or the graspingness, the fear.
Yeah. I mean, most people are trying to control things because they're afraid of losing them.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so losing is release.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, part of letting go of your, you know, to let your inner side out, you got to let go of a lot of stuff to let that shine.
Right.
And to blossom. So this, what we're going through is designed. They have planned this to happen at this time.
Mm-hmm. And let me, Yvonne, do a bit of top of the hour that, so those that are just tuning in, we have some other listeners that have just come in on as in the chat as well as online. But we are speaking with Yvonne Stein, dialoguing about the timeline, 2012. He can be reached at timeline2012.org. If you have questions, just type them in uppercase in the chat so that I can see them, or you can call in 347-539-5122. Okay, Yvonne, and you say they, and what are you meaning, the design?
The proverbial they are the people who have known about these events for thousands of years, passed down through their elite societies, and I don't need to name any.
Right.
I will say, you know, the Bilderberg Group is part of it. I mean, mm-hmm. they control who goes to war and who becomes president. I mean, this conspiracy is so rampant that it's hard for people to even conceive that there are groups of people that control the world.
Mm-hmm.
In the old days, in the ancient times, it was done through swords and battles. Leaders, warriors would conquer another country. Now it's done through monetary control. Whoever controls the wealth controls the world. And they have just taken it out of the sword and made the pen the sword.
Mm-hmm.
They're not fighting battles anymore where people are getting, well, they are, but not in the sense of a full-on battle in the field between two armies. Now it's an elite group of people who have very powerful information from ancient sources that have given them an understanding of how to control the world, just like I'm helping people understand how to release.
Right.
And most importantly, they've learned how to capture and enslave people through this power.
Mm-hmm.
And they manifest great, and that's one of the things that people don't understand. I look at this group and these people as amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't judge them because I understand that they're only doing what they came here to do, and the only thing we can do is learn how not to be part of their game.
Mm-hmm.
But to disrespect their ability to manifest and ability to control the world is short-sighted.
Mm-hmm. One thing I find fascinating, though, is that we have the same power or empowerment, the same illumination. And so in a sense, it's just directing that and somehow winding out or breaking out of that system.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
And rightly so, you know, I look at it as, you know, if it's nepotism. If you have a group of people and you had the idea and the fortitude to want to create something or co-create something, of course, you know, and in the old paradigm or rules, what was co-created, what was good for a certain amount of people. They wanted to make sure, okay, we want enough food, enough coffers, we have this knowledge. And so that it was built very insular. But as well as certain people also did not, just as long as things were, the status quo was okay, also there's a certain group of people that didn't want to know what was going on or use their own power or empowerment as well, right? I mean, it's kind of, you can't have someone having that power over if there's not a group saying that we're being overpowered.
Yeah. No, it's not about being overpowered. It's about maybe reaching critical mass.
Yes.
Of enough people with enlightened minds or enlightened spirit and ability to manifest effortlessly that can manifest for a large number of people. They've been doing this for thousands of years.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, they built in systems to keep people down and keep them impoverished and keep them suffering. Okay, those systems are the same systems that keep people from being self-empowered.
Right.
Okay, so yeah, that's why it's such a challenge for many people to break out of society. And I didn't, you know, I did in one way. I, you know, stepped out, quit working, went into poverty, and meditated for 10 hours a day. Well, that's what it took for me.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's got their own way of doing this, and there's an infinite number of ways to achieve the same level anywhere. So everybody's got to choose what they're capable of doing. And at that time, I didn't have children. I didn't have a wife or a girlfriend. So that made it easier for me to be able to make those commitments to myself.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as you start having a family and you've got responsibility to your children, then these are much more difficult tasks to incorporate.
Mm-hmm. So what in individually assisting the shift collectively, what can individuals do that are consciously on the path or becoming consciously on the path to offset what is occurring, the trajectory of?
Well, that's it. You don't have to do anything.
Okay.
That's what I learned about manifestation. Well, my funny thing is I learned that, oh, you don't have to think about money to manifest money.
Mm-hmm.
That was a revelation.
Mm-hmm.
I don't try to do anything except be who I am in the moment. Mm-hmm. And when I do that, everything else flows. Okay, that's one of the missing pieces to most people that I see in the spiritual world, is that they're too busy trying to achieve something.
Well, I mean more in the shift. I mean, you're obviously being of service and you're sharing your insight. And earlier you said meditation. So if there is a certain trajectory of events that's set into place,
right?
What would you suggest to people?
Okay.
That's the question.
Yeah, it's all about making good choices.
Okay.
And that comes from, you know, people don't like the term information. I'm like, well, spiritual information is information.
Mm-hmm.
When you learn about anything, it's information. What you do with that information is what's important. And the ability to do something in your highest good or the highest good for all mankind, then you have to start working with your intuition.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it is really a matter of, you know, bringing it all together now in the sense of, okay, yeah, I'm in the physical world, I'm helping people, but I'm not trying to do anything specific unless the universe shows me that's what I'm supposed to do.
Okay.
That's a level that, you know, again, I know from helping people and working with people and meeting people all over the world on different levels of spiritual paths, it's rare to be able to let go to that level, and that's more release.
Mm-hmm.
To let go of any agenda, only what you're, you know, being guided to. If the doors open easily, then that's the path of least resistance. That's generally in your highest good.
Mm-hmm. It reminds me of that.
Okay.
Do what is before you.
Yeah. And I know so many people who are trying to open doors, trying to create communities, and have been planning for 15 years. I'll give you an example. A woman in Maine said she, 15 years ago, she bought 68 acres of land, and she hasn't manifested the people or the money to create a community.
Yeah.
Well, that to me is a sign.
Yeah.
Okay,
well,
if it's not happening easily, then maybe it's not in the highest good of her or other people.
Mm-hmm. Which I find is very good insight and suggestions, because we're not going to necessarily know, even events that are, whether you want to call them cataclysmic or, you know, occurring in different groupings, you're not going to know what to do or what necessarily is going to happen. It's not like exactly at this time or date. Really what you have is, like what you're saying, is your intuition and being in that meditative state to know, is this really something that needs to be done, or a direction, or what do I need to do, instead of going out? Because I do know people buying land or, you know, thinking they're going to have healing centers or big, or how, and then they're just falling under that because it was not really what was needed. It wasn't what they were to do. It came from the ego, personality.
You could say ego, yeah, absolutely. And I see that a lot too. People are trying too hard without not enough information.
Mm.
Okay, and that's what I tell people. What I provide is information. And let me tell you, you can know what's coming in the future.
Mm-hmm.
You can know what's going to occur. I mean, if you believe that things out there like Nostradamus, Edgar Cayce, the Mayan prophecy, if you believe that people were able to prophesize what was going to occur in the future, then there's no reason why we can't do it now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I have used that knowledge as well as my own intuitive research, which, you know, I intuited something was wrong, something was amiss, and then that led me to an understanding of 2012. And through that understanding, yes, if you look at the prophecy and if you believe it, if you believe any of that prophecy is real, it paints the picture.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the picture, that's what I call the big picture, and it is possible to understand what's coming. We have the ability to change some of it. But certainly, if we're passing the galactic equator every 25,630 years as an entire solar system, to anybody who thinks that we're actually going to alter the path of the solar system around the galaxy, I don't think that's within our power.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there are certain things that we do have the ability to change, and we haven't even changed those.
Mm-hmm.
We're still trying to change those. We're still trying to make a difference in humanity, which is what we do have the ability to influence. We're still trying to keep the Third World War from occurring, which is something within our power based on the ability to elect people who wouldn't go to war. We haven't even done that. Okay, so I'm still hopeful that we're going to be able to influence some of this.
Mm-hmm.
But certain things are built into the system. Mm-hmm. You know, people. I tell people, when, in your understanding, was Atlantis sunk the last time? About 25,000 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? That's when we passed the galactic equator last time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so there are patterns here, and that's one of the things I go through in the material in the Timeline 2012 video series, and that's again on my Spirit Man 2012 YouTube channel, as well as timeline2012.org website. You can go there and you can watch this entire lecture that I give with, you know, PowerPoint presentation, and I go into patterns,
mm-hmm.
historic patterns that we have not been told about.
Mm.
By science, by school, by education, we've been deliberately deceived, just like in many parts of society, but in that part especially, because if people knew that the planet was heating up because of the sun and it wasn't because of global warming, people would say, okay, well, what's causing the sun?
Yeah.
And then it changes the whole dynamic.
Yeah, well, you ask more questions. We have a couple of questions in the chat. One is, what is the galactic equator?
Okay, best to go and look at the video, which is a 10-minute segment on the galactic equator. I will try to explain it in brevity. It is the plane that the galaxy spins on. Okay, a galaxy spins just like the solar system on a plane. And the energy coming off of any spinning object I describe in there, and I give an example of it from the Hubble telescope, which was my favorite photo for 10 years, and I didn't know why until I started putting this material together. It is an example of the energy that can come off the galactic equator. So we actually do, you know, most people know that we spin around the outer edges of the galaxy. What I didn't know until I actually did research is that we're actually doing a sine wave. So we're going up and down in a perfect sine wave as we go around the galaxy. And that frequency means that we pass the galactic equator every 25,630 years, like clockwork.
Mm.
And that is the phase that we're going into, which is why we're getting closer and closer to it every year. And you notice the volcanoes and the earthquakes are accelerating and becoming more frequent, and volcanoes that have been dormant for over 10,000 years are now becoming active. This is the tension that it's putting already on the planet.
Mm-hmm. And it seems to, from 2003 on, to have accelerated exponentially.
Especially the volcanoes and the earthquakes have. Of course, the hurricanes accelerated back in the 80s. They went from, you know, 5 a year to 20, almost 20 a year. And so these are also effects of heating up the planet, and the weather patterns are changing. But, yeah, unfortunately, this is not supposed to be obvious. Okay, it's kind of like I tell people, spiritual growth was easy. Everybody would be doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if this information was supposed to be obvious, everybody would know about it. It's supposed to be a challenge to figure out life. It's supposed to be a challenge. That's what we're here for. We're not here for the easy road. we're here for the challenge. So, you know, to figure life out and understand it and apply your spiritual knowledge to life is what we're here to do. And this is no different. This information, you know, again, it's putting pieces together, and people have heard bits and pieces of a lot of this over the years. And for some reason, what I have put together triggers people.
Mm-hmm.
They say, oh, my God, now I get it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and that comes from an intuitive place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they're saying, this just resonates with everything that I believe.
Well, you've synthesized a lot, right? You've taken a lot, and then plus what
exactly.
You've received. Yeah.
I feel clarity. I've really combined science and spirit in a way that not very many people have, and maybe nobody on this subject. And that's what people tell me. They say, you know what, you know, I don't like science, But what you've done is just answered the questions that I've been asking for.
Mm-hmm. Now, one other question, is the ascension related to rapture?
Rapture is a topic that you got to understand. The rapture was put into the Bible in, I believe it was the 20th century. It wasn't part of the original Bible. And it was put in by my understanding is by a sect of religion, a Catholic or whatever, I'm not sure, but by a church and a pastor who, for some reason, either believed or conceived of this concept, and then it got written into the Bible. Well, I believe that people are going to have powers beyond what we see today in the very near future, and I believe that some of those powers may allow us to pretty much evolve into another state of being.
Mm-hmm.
And I say, yeah, okay, I don't believe it's the chosen ones, or I don't believe it's a certain group of, you know, a certain religious group that's going to have that ability. I think it would be, if it was going to be one, it would be widespread on those people who have evolved to that level randomly. And so I don't believe it has to do with any one group. One other thing that troubles me about this concept is if you understand the meaning of life and you understand that we're here to grow, that's what we came down to Earth for, is to grow to the highest level possible before we leave.
Mm-hmm.
And all the challenges that we're giving down here are to support that growth. Then why would you want to leave at the time when the greatest challenge occurs?
Mm-hmm.
That to me just doesn't resonate with any spiritual level. I mean, if you've risen to the level by which you could transcend the physical plane, then you'd also have the consciousness to know that you're doing better good by staying here, and you don't have to run from this challenge. You're not afraid of death at that point. You certainly shouldn't be. So why would you go when it's in the physical plane going through this transformation of the planet is much more empowering than being on the astral plane?
Mm-hmm.
We come down here for that very reason, and this is why there's a population explosion. Everybody wants to be down here for this event, even if they don't survive.
Mm-hmm.
This is why we have nearly 7 billion people on the planet. This is not an accident.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's again some misinformation that we've been, you know, sent here, we're in bondage, but instead of this, we're here to express and experience this, perhaps usher this in, but like you say, be a part of this.
Yeah. Well, I choose to be a part of it,
mm-hmm.
and not everybody has that choice. Everybody's destiny is unique. I was sent here
mm-hmm.
to be what they call a system buster,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't understand what that meant until more recently. You know, I mean, I live my life in a kind of a obscure way. I never really felt like I fit in any clique, and now I understand why.
Just very Aquarian, but. You know, Yvonne, one thing, too, the system buster has to make people aware of the system. And that's, you know, and to begin breaking it down. And that's part of what that I see that you are doing. And we have another question as well in the chat that is everyone's consciousness, and of course we want to say on this level or dimension, but is everyone's consciousness being raised at this time?
I would say everybody except those who are resisting.
Okay.
Because what's happening, and you mentioned it earlier, and this is a very good point because I bring it up to people to help them understand what's really happening around us. When people are not flowing and they're resisting the change that the universe is trying to show us to make, which is to let go of the material possessions and not be so driven by business, when they resist that, their lives are going into chaos.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody can see that around them. And we talked about it, some of these spiritual people who are out there and they're trying to create a business model and they're trying to do this and that, and their lives are imploding on themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Because they really got to step back out of ego, like you mentioned, and look at it differently and make different choices, or better choices, I would say,
mm-hmm.
to harmonize with this flow rather than resist it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, everybody, people are hanging on. I say, you know, it's like hanging on to the side of the pool and not wanting to let go because it's so familiar and it's so ingrained in us that it's scary to let go. And I understand that because I had to let go a long time ago and go to the unknown.
Well, what's interesting, Yvonne, is that the drain is being pulled out of the pool. There's a whirlpool being created. And people need to, you know, hoist yourself up and get out of the pool and get into the ocean. You know, get in. But you're right. They're holding on to the systems. That's and it's interesting, as you say, as a system buster, this is one of the things that I've been seeing is and actually as a channeler and an intuitive trying to help people see this, the resistance to hold on to the system. Now, let me ask you, do you feel that we're creating or co-creating the new system? Do you see the new system coming through or coming about, or do you
Absolutely.
See it? You do. Okay.
Absolutely. I mean, when I did these lectures in Australia, and the people that came up to me afterwards and said, "Oh my God, now I know why I wasn't supposed to leave yesterday or the day before," and I found out about this at the grocery store. Those people are from ancient communities. These are people we've worked with before.
Okay.
We are bringing together the consciousness of an ancient community.
Yeah.
To co-create this future, and it's going to accelerate. That co-creative ability really doesn't kick in until the end of 2011, where we're really able to truly co-create. We're co-creating now on an unconscious level.
Mm-hmm.
The only way you can co-create on a conscious level is if you have the same thought as another
mm-hmm.
person
mm-hmm.
and maintain that same thought. And that's with telepathy, which is growing. And this is an exponential process. So, again, you talked about it. Not everybody is growing at the same rate. And those people that are resisting are actually being given great challenges to transition. And if they continue to resist, they'll self-implode.
Mm.
So, you know, if people don't let go of the side of the pool through this process and they continue to hang on, they're going to get trapped in a system that is not going to serve them.
Yeah. And see, that's what you're saying. The system breaking, it's not working. And there will be a shakeup where the powers that be, so to speak, look around and go, you know what, it's totally defunct. But by that time, they've moved into their other insular game. So how to get the message out for people that are still holding on to this or hoping? They keep thinking, well, it's coming back, or it's going to be, or we're just going to change
back,
it a little bit, right? We're just changing a little bit. And it's like, no, it's busted. It's gone.
Yeah. And, you know, you've heard about the MARO and the North American Union. These are already in plans. I mean, even the World Bank was talking about creating three new currencies, and I'm sure that the Amero was one of them. You know, these things have been planned for so long.
Mm-hmm.
This system was designed to only last a certain amount of time, and it was to get us close enough before they have to take control of the system militarily.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just trying to keep the status quo going as long as possible. Now, if people are buying into that, again, it's a matter of seeing more clearly. Sometimes it's a matter of watching a video. Sometimes it's a matter of hearing somebody speak that triggers them to say, oh, my God, you know, I've been deluded again.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still following the masses down into the river, and I don't even know it.
Mm-hmm.
And once the people realize that this system is defunct and it can never recover, we can't pay back $70 trillion ever.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote emails about this to people years ago, and I said, how would we ever pay back $70 trillion? You either have to have charge more taxes, or you have to have more people paying into the system, which just means a bigger problem down the road.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way mm-hmm. that we can pay for any of these debts. So the system is going to fail, and it's inevitable, and it can't be stopped. All they're doing is propping it up again to take for the last possible moment before they have to take it down.
Mm-hmm.
Because once they take it down, then they have major chaos. We're going to have global depression, and we're going to have put martial law into place, and all of these things that people have heard about, but they have a plan for it.
So what part of what I'm hearing you say is to not get caught up in that is to really start perhaps unwinding out of the system and not following masses.
Unwinding would be one way to put it, but gaining more information. Again,
okay.
Information is not a negative term. You have to have more input to make some of these changes. Yeah, well, even spiritual growth. How many people can make achieve spiritual growth without some input? I don't care if it comes through channeled, or if you read a book, or go to a lecture, or watch some videos. Any one of those can change your life.
Mm-hmm. So get knowledgeable, get the info so that you can make a knowledgeable decision for your path, as you're saying, get the knowledge, get the information.
Yeah, and then incorporate it. You know, everybody's going to incorporate the same information differently based on their entire life experience.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you know, everybody will make different choices with the same information. But it's really, yeah, it's about waking up
mm-hmm.
and understanding that what you're feeling is real, that the system isn't sustainable, that things are collapsing. And then, you know, looking at the information that's coming towards you, being open to that information is one of the things. I can't tell you how many people are closed off to all sorts of concepts, and you know this, even about what's coming in the next 3 years. They think because if they think about it, they're supporting it to happen.
What is that? Oh, my gosh, I hear people, I don't want to think negatively. I don't want to think about that. And I'm thinking, okay, well...
Yeah, it's no sweet. You know, I tell people when you're in your heart and you're centered, you can look at everything objectively and choose whether you want to believe or not. You don't have to go into fear. You don't have to, if you've cleared out fear, you don't have to go into fear. You don't have to go into panic. But a lot of people do because of their attachment to friends, family, community that they've established over their entire lifetime. And it's just too big a change for most people to really let go of that.
Yeah.
So they trap themselves because they're not willing to let go.
Now, we have a good point, and I would love for you to speak to this because I think it's so crucial and critical. From Dean in the chat made a comment, information is not a negative thing, but misinformation may be. How can people discern the difference? Because that's part of what I know when people go to your, you know, timeline2012.org, they can get the information and you go very detailed into geophysical changes, mental, emotional, physiological. You really go into a depth understanding as well as the Mayan calendar and tying it in. However, what I really, really appreciate what you're saying, Yvonne, is that you're giving people the tools. Because so far what's been out there is this is happening, that's happening, and people are running from one, you know, source of information, but not yet, well, what can I do about it for my path and my process? So I think this point is so important. How can people discern? What is the measuring device with the information?
Well, I'll tell you a couple things. One is the presentation. Is the material being presented in a fear-based consciousness? Is it being presented in a naive-based consciousness? Most people can tell that much about a speaker, about a message. Some people like the fact that things are naive. If somebody is giving a presentation that's based on naive concepts and wishy-washy spirituality, that comforts people.
Mm-hmm.
But really, it all comes down to wisdom. And the wisdom for me came through my spiritual evolution. I didn't gain wisdom by, you know, reading a book. I gained wisdom by practicing life. Okay? And so you can't give somebody wisdom. You can give them the tools that will achieve wisdom. And that's the best you can do for someone. You can even help them implement the tools, which, like going to an ashram, is one of the processes. But the wisdom has to come from within. And when you gain wisdom, then you can see clearly what is truth and what is not truth. And not just truth to the person speaking, but truth to you. And that's what happens when people watch, you know, come to my lectures or have watched the material. They say, oh, my God, you know, you have given me something that feels more truthful than anything else I've seen. Okay, and so it really has to be an intuitive sense for people to trust or to find a level of belief in one kind of material versus another, or somebody's presentation versus another. It just has to resonate. And if you're not at the ability where you can tell what resonates, then the best thing you can do is work on your spiritual growth so that you can get in that place
mm-hmm.
and forget about the material. And until you achieve a level of being somewhat intuitive about what you're seeing is truth or not truth, and being able to resonate with material or just, you know, ignoring it because your mind's too busy and you can't even focus on it, those are the things that it doesn't matter how much information you receive, you aren't going to be able to incorporate it.
Mm. Yeah, I agree with you. I think the spiritual path and people connecting to their, you know, spiritual path or soul's unfoldment is so critical right now. I think I heard you even say of one of the videos that I was watching, I think you even said, in other words, you'll know where to go or you'll know what to do. But you keep stressing this, that it's so individual because it's how people interpret the information, but also what their path is.
I will say this. I mean, we have been trained to isolate ourselves in a society that's dysfunctional. Mm-hmm. And we're now going back to the community. I mean, co-creation is about community.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell people in my spiritual work, the reason for relationships, whether it be twins, husband and wife, brother and sister, business relationships, these were to learn how to harmonize with one other person. Okay, mm-hmm. And we're going in now into tens or thousands of people harmonizing in this coming evolution that we're going through. And if you can't do it with one other person, you've got a lot of work to do it with eight people even. So this is where the spiritual growth is so important and the transformation that we're going through. It is a time when community is going to be the norm and not the individuality.
Mm.
Okay, you can be individual and you can be part of a community and they both can work. But that's been rare on this level of consciousness.
Yes. Yes.
And that's what we're going into. And I tell people, look, this is about co-creation. We are moving into that phase of evolution, and you're going to want to be around people who are like-minded and have the same goals for humanity, for life, the universe, whatever, and, you know, find that kind of group. We're going to be providing those kinds of introductions all through the website, by the way, timeline2012.org. This is not just about providing the information about what's coming. I'm creating a sustainable community that will thrive, which you may have heard that term already, to thrive through 2012. And it's going to be as large as I can get it, as large as people want it to be. It'll be as large as it's supposed to be. And it's going to be a place where we are going to be like-minded. And, you know, people say, oh, that's wishy-washy. It's, you know, how can you achieve that? Well, we're moving into the consciousness by which these concepts are achievable now. We're moving into that consciousness at the exact same time we're planning this community. Also, what we're doing is creating templates for people to create their own community.
Mm.
Okay, and at some point, we hope to be able to connect people that don't want to be part of what I'm working on in the community that I'm helping to create, helping being the key word, because it's coming from all sources and it's coming together very quickly. People aren't going to want to make the choices I've made. They aren't going to want to go to the places I'm going to go to. So they may choose to do it somewhere else, and they have a bunch of people that want to do that. We can help them provide by providing information of creating that kind of community.
And that seems to be key, that law of resonance and finding those groups and those situations that you truly resonate with on a soul level and co-creating with them. I would imagine that's why more compatibility, because there's more of a resonance there.
Absolutely, and that's why we're going through the spiritual conscious evolution, even the raw living food movement. I mean, I can't tell you how many people I converted to raw living food, I'll say, a couple months ago, and I found all sorts of other people converted almost the same time. I was already a vegetarian. I just took it to another level. There's a reason for these movements, or whatever you want to call them, evolution, and the mass numbers of people who are changing virtually overnight now is in preparation so that they can come in contact with those people that are a part of their community.
Holistic is putting in the chat, frequencies lining themselves up. Yes. Which brings me up to, because as we are these, you know, star seeds or these groups coming together, when we connect in with the right frequency, do you find or see that there can be in that alignment to the right frequency that we're essentially perhaps able to, you know, do more, be more, broadcast more?
Oh, absolutely. And I wouldn't necessarily call it the right frequency, but, you know, and I know you
well,
know
aligned.
That.
Well, aligned. I don't mean a right
yeah,
is good or a bad, but aligned.
Yeah, no, I know. Yeah.
Yeah, the change in language. Thank you. Not
a better
right,
frequency.
Yeah, better frequency or more alignment.
Better for your highest good and the highest good of humanity. And there are a lot of frequencies. I mean, everybody probably understands that, you know, if you want to call them soul groups, if you want to call them ancient communities, people you've worked with in ancient times coming together in this life, there's so many different frequencies of consciousness on the planet at the same time coming together. And they all have a slightly different goal because they are a different consciousness. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we're going to be attracted at this at these times and exponentially through these next couple of years to draw in those people who we're supposed to be with and going to be around through this process.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't mean that everybody's going to have the same idea of what's coming or how to prepare for it. And that's all perfect. After all, if you're drawn into these groups and communities, there's a reason. It doesn't mean that you're, you know, going to survive. It doesn't mean that you, you know, plan to. Some people just want to be part of something, part of a movement that helps mankind.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't mean that they're part of a preparatory community.
Mm-hmm.
But they are all part of a community in the sense of whatever they're doing. So this is a tremendous time for, you know, connecting with people. And one of the things that helps that connection is to let go of the things that are keeping you from making those connections.
Mm. And what do you
mean
by that?
Okay, again, it's all level release. If you can't let go of what's got you trapped, how are you going to attract in those people who aren't trapped?
Mm.
So, yeah, it's very empowering now to let go of the things that we have a lot of comfort with but are not serving us anymore.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting, too, because if you think about it, our, you know, beliefs, our mental constructs, those are systems as well. And certain relationships, that's a system, you know, organizing energy. So what I'm hearing you say, it's going to be perhaps different for each individual, perhaps to look and see where are you holding on and where is it not serving you? Where are you overly grasping or holding on? Is that what you're saying? So the releasing could be different for different people.
Absolutely. It's all unique. Everything's unique. What you have to release, how you do it, you know, everybody's life is absolutely unique.
Mm.
And so everybody's level of release has to start at a different place and a different method, maybe using different techniques. It's such a, you know, amazing journey when you see how diverse everybody's life is, absolutely unique.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, what you can give somebody the information that you used, it may serve them, it may not. They may use part of it, they may not. That's just the way it works. Everybody has to figure out what works best for them.
Mm. And again, by you said that discernment and that meditation, being in that clear state, that can help guide people.
That absolutely. As a matter of fact, I often tell people in my lectures that if you're making choices from a state of anxiety, anger, anticipation, or frustration, the choice you make will almost always not be in your highest good.
Mm-hmm.
How you can achieve a centered state and make choices from a state of peace and, you know, opening your heart is a concept that a lot of people are aware of. It's not as easy as just saying open your heart.
Right.
You have to do the work. You put in the effort to allow that to be open, and then that makes it easier again. So, yeah, you know, you can meditate and still find this place of peace and not have an open heart.
That's right. That's a very good point. Seen some of that reflection.
Yeah. Well, and the best thing is if you can have both, if you have a state of peace and an open heart, then your choices are going to be much better for your highest good and the highest good of humanity, your mankind. So, yeah, it's different levels of release and different levels of opening that give you clarity in your decisions.
Mm-hmm. Now, Yvonne, from your unfolding and your research, both inner and outer, what you've been receiving, what changes have you made? And, you know, for instance, are you deciding to live in a different place? Are you, okay, and more drawn to certain things now or certain situations or certain people?
Absolutely, and you're drawn to certain people's information, and that's, you know, karmic as well as it is by seeking and all the other things we've talked about. If you're out there looking, and the universe will respond and provide the information that you're supposed to have. Yeah, I have sold. I sold my real estate at the peak because I knew this was coming. I sold my business last year when I thought it was probably too late, but I ended up selling it, and the perfect person came in to take it and run with it. And I just recently, in the last few days, left the place I called residence for almost 10 years. Not necessarily the physical location, but the actual city. I just moved and freed myself of a 10-year pattern.
Okay.
And now I'm down to almost 2 suitcases, and I will be when I make the next journey. And I will be going someplace other than the United States. I have no intention on being here when they institute martial law.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
This is the worst place on the planet to be. And I choose, you know, I tell people, look, I'm not afraid of death. If, you know, let's imagine that these cataclysmic events are going to happen and all these people are going to be suffering afterwards. I tell people, look, I could be in the city helping people after this event, helping people with guidance and with resources, and I would give everything to the other people that are starving, and I would end up starving to death, and I have no fear of death, and so I wouldn't mind that. But how good am I going to be if I only last for 10 days after this event?
Mm-hmm.
Or 30 days, whatever it takes you to starve, because other people are starving, and I wouldn't be able to watch them starve. Is that in the highest good of mankind or humanity, or is it to prepare an environment by which people can live in harmony through the end of their lives?
Mm-hmm.
Peace, love, and harmony.
Mm-hmm.
I see that as a higher calling of my abilities.
Mm-hmm. Now, what are you seeing the timeline for this? I definitely agree with you, unfortunately, with the martial law. I've been getting that as well. You know, it used to be a nightmare, and now you see it unfolding as a reality. So.
Yeah, reality. Yeah, it used to be a nightmare. That's good.
It's not a dream.
No, they, I don't know if you've been watching. North Korea is nothing compared to what's going on in Iran and what's going to be going on in the Middle East. And this is all going to escalate into, people think that Armageddon, so to speak, in the biblical reference is a nuclear war because one of the first few signs of it is the start of the Third World War. That's coming very quickly, most likely by the end of this year.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not even needed to catapult this economy into collapse, but it will catapult it because it's going to drive oil up 2 or 3 times the value it is today, if not more. And that stress is why oil's been artificially reduced now. If oil was still at 140 a barrel, we'd already be in a depression.
Right.
All right. They've artificially reduced the price of oil to keep us out of a depression.
Mm-hmm.
But when the Third World War starts and, you know, Israel is attacked and the Persian Gulf gets shut down, which is what's going to occur, that's going to help them institute martial law as well. Because not only is we going to have an economic depression with 25 to 50% unemployment, nobody being able to take care of themselves off the land, not nobody, but the majority of people not being able to, they're going to have to institute martial law for a combination of those two factors.
Mm-hmm.
All right, now that's by 2011,
mm-hmm.
or sometime in 2011.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, then you've got these geophysical changes, which are going to come very rapidly. They're not, again, if this was obvious, everybody prepare for it.
That's right.
It's not supposed to be obvious. It's supposed to be something you have to work on inside and look at what's really coming, what do you feel, what's your intuition saying, and then make choices. But the geophysical changes are going to happen so rapidly and so dramatically that only those people who have really prepared are going to be in a state of living through this in any level of peace. Something I tell people in my lectures, I said there's something as tolerable existence and intolerable existence. Tolerable existence means that you can live in peace and harmony after this and through this. Intolerable existence is everything else. And we all make these choices to live one way or the other, and every single day, every single minute of every day, we're making a choice of where and how we're going to go through this process. Are you awake? Are you paying attention? Are you seeing the deception? Are you searching for information? You know, are you listening?
Mm-hmm.
All of those choices we make are determining where we're going to be and how we're going to go through this process.
I think that's so cute. Are you awake? Are you listening? And are you paying attention? Are you getting the messages?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, a lot of people are getting the messages. I can't tell you how many people say,
yeah.
"Oh, yeah, I've heard about this material," and then they just haven't been able to put it together or haven't really believed in it until they get the right information, and then all of a sudden it triggers.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, something that's interesting is that we had, you probably know this, along the borders. The border towns to Mexico, we have, under the auspices of, the war on drugs, but we have had martial law already, and some states are saying they don't want it, but the government has been in along the borders, they're tightening up, and there was actually martial law. I saw it on TV, black and white, black and, in color, a technicolor.
They're also throwing out that term regularly in the press now.
Yes, 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 they are. Yes, and I had the flash. It came, and I saw it. Even more. So this, I thought that this is how it's happening with the increments to get people more used to it and give a certain reason for the good of all. And then you see more and more. And on some towns, they've remained. So
yeah. Oh, and you saw. I mean, France was almost overthrown. I mean, it's maybe a little extreme, but I mean, they instituted martial law for like 3 weeks in France when they had riots.
Mm-hmm.
And this is going on more and more because as the economy collapses, the third world countries are losing their jobs first, and they have less savings and less capability of surviving without the jobs that they've become addicted to.
Mm-hmm.
So as this depression goes to a whole nother level, there's going to be a whole other level of despair and a whole other level of chaos that ensues, and that's just going to give them the reasons to use martial law.
Mm-hmm. And so the remedy to this, or knowing this, what I'm hearing, is to be prepared. To get the information and listen to that higher awareness. Get clear information, obviously.
Yeah, and prepared meaning primarily conscious prepared. I mean, if you're prepared consciously, the rest of it comes naturally. It comes easily.
Right.
Okay? You get out of the fear. Get into understanding. When you understand a thing, two things happen. You no longer fear it, and it no longer controls you.
Mm-hmm.
So if people would just understand the system that they're in,
mm-hmm.
that would be enough to release them from it, and they'd no longer be afraid to take the steps.
Mm-hmm. So it really boils down to the consciousness.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Everything does.
Okay. That's
where you are consciously depends on how you manifest. It's that simple.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I like that. Where you are consciously depends on how it manifests. That's what you said? Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Everything that happens in your life is part of your manifestation.
Mm-hmm.
If it happens with another person, I call it the 50-50 rule. That means if two people have a car accident, they're each manifested. So the same thing is true as if they create a business which is successful or manifest the information to go forward in a peaceful way. You know, you've manifested being at a lecture. The lecturer has manifested you being there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, but there are a lot of things that we end up manifesting on our own because we've isolated ourselves outside of community, outside of support groups. And so we're pretty much, winging it on our own in most cases without a good foundation for manifestation.
Mm-hmm. So that consciousness following that resonance, which is being in alignment or the greatest good for yourself and others, for the collective unfolding, and I don't mean mainstream collective. But I'm qualifying that because I had somebody email me
at
the time. Did you mean the mainstream? But I'm like, no, that's the... Yeah. So really what I'm hearing, which is great, it's really an inside, you know, and as cliche as it sounds, but it is really an inside job and an inner directive, as well as, if I'm hearing you correctly, that community. Where's your community?
Yeah. Well, like I say, every choice you make depends on what's going on inside of you, how you think, what everything you've learned in life, everything you brought forward from past lives. Your belief system is based on what you've experienced. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, and part of it is bringing that to a higher level,
mm-hmm.
You know, attracting in the information and understanding and learning how to incorporate new information without fear.
Mm-hmm. And we did have one question on that also as well, on the karma. Do you believe or see in the an evolution of karma, that there is an evolving?
Well, you know, many people have different understandings of karma. So my belief in karma is that is what you have brought forward or you're creating to go forward with.
Mm-hmm.
So evolution of karma, yeah. Some people, and what I've learned is, you know, a lot of people now who are living today who are on a spiritual path have generally cleaned out a lot of their past life karma at this stage. Okay, and that's after their 30s, you know, before you're 30, you know, as far as I understand it, spiritually, you really don't mature until you're 30. And if anybody does, I think that is an oddity, or not an oddity, but a rarity. Most people don't mature until after they're 30. And I think you're still going through some karma even past that period. But we've been given the opportunity in this lifetime, because of what's coming, to shed away a lot of that old karma.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, of course, you can still attract new karma by not acting in integrity and you know, disrespect and all the things that you can do to create new karma. But hopefully people, you know, a lot of people are reaching spiritual levels by which they've chosen not to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Chosen this to be free in this life and going forward. And this is the best time to do it because of all the acceleration in consciousness, the exponential evolution that we're going through. Yeah, you know, you want to start clearing this stuff out of the way so you can go forward in co-creation and in a positive, fully positive manner.
Back to the clearing. All right, Yvonne, this has been wonderful. This has truly been enlightening and as well as an awakening dialogue. I really appreciate you sharing on awakenings.
Well, thank you, and it's a pleasure to be here and to be speaking before your audience.
And I'm just going to put back in, if you want to connect with Yvonne, you can go to timeline2012.org or spiritman2012 on YouTube. And there are those videos on conscious creation, if you will, as well as the Timeline 2012 information. Thanks so much.
Yeah, videos on the spiritual I call Conscious Healing for Positive Manifestation.
Okay,
And the reason I call that is because I help people bring the healing into their consciousness to participate in it directly rather than having it, you know, happen without. I mean, some people are hoping that they just get enlightened. I help people actually enlighten themselves.
And now that, just to be clear, the video series on the Conscious Healing for Positive Manifestation is on your website, timeline2012.org, and the YouTube channel, SpiritMan2012?
That's right. Most of the video on timeline2012.org is linked into the YouTube. So there's a lot of content on timeline2012 that's not on my channel that we've linked in from other people's YouTube videos. So there's a combination, a lot more variety of information on timeline2012, but it does incorporate everything that's on my personal YouTube channel.
Okay, so either one. Timeline2012.org or the YouTube channel SpiritMan2012. Perfect. And lots of great info. I mean, you could spend hours just it's really great. It's a great service that you're doing, and you have an open invitation back to Awakenings anytime. Just ask, and we'll be in touch.
Well, thank you, Michelle. That's quite a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Peace and blessings, Yvonne. Take care.
Okay. Thank you. Goodbye.
Bye. Thank you, listeners, also for tuning in and holding the space and sharing your insight and your understanding in the chat room, holding that sacred space, as well as the great questions and input. If you want to get updates or follow what's happening with Awakenings Radio on Facebook, you can go to facebook.com/awakeningsradio. Our updates are on Awakenings Tweet, which is on Twitter, and we put updates out there as well. And for the newsletter, that is info@selfinlight.com. That's info@selfinlight.com. And that information is also on the Awakenings page. We've been very blessed to be having a wonderfully enlightening and awakening dialogue with Yvonne Stein. And again, Yvonne's information on Timeline 2012 can be reached at timeline2012.org, or his YouTube channel is SpiritMan2012. So until next time, shine your light, share your insight, and keep awake.